Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio with my co-host,
Tom Mazur.
And Tom, we're talking about education. Even though it's still summer, we talk about education because education never stops.
That's right. And I always wondered, Jelaine, where school teachers go in the summer.
Well, we have three of them here.
That's right.
And Tom, you went to a Christian education. You had that all through your schooling, all your schooling.
Well, actually, from third grade on, I started in public school, and I had the blessing. They had a temple plan, and so our family was not able to afford it, and so the church helped support us, and it was a wonderful experience. It changed my life.
Okay, and because private education, whether it's you know, a charter school or a Christian school, it does cost money. We'll discuss a little bit about that. But Tom, before we introduce our teachers and get started, why don't you have a word of prayer?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, be with us. We know that you want us to grow and to be educated, first of all, spiritually.
Amen.
And preparing for heaven. And then second of all, to be useful on earth, to contribute, to help others. Lord, be with us as we talk about this subject of Christian education and educating children for eternity.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have three teachers here, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Udelka Roscoe from Grand Rapids Adventist Academy.
Okay.
I'm Renee Truax from Hastings Adventist Elementary School.
And I'm Melinda Whitcomb from Greater Lansing Adventist School.
Okay, so we have three teachers, and two are principals as well as teachers. And Udelka, you're strictly a teacher, and you get to teach little kids, first and second grade, right?
That's right.
Okay, and you're with Grand Rapids Adventist Academy, which is a kindergarten through high school, 12th grade?
Yes.
Okay.
We are.
Okay. Do you know, I don't know if you know how many of your kids are coming this next school year, or like what was the past school year? Do you know how many students were in the whole school? Because you're kind of a big school.
Yes. I don't know how many we had this last year.
How many first and second graders? You do know that.
Yes, I had 17 of them, and we had about 130 maybe this year.
In the whole school.
In the whole school, yes.
Okay, because this segment, we're talking about elementary school, but Seventh-day Adventist schools have boarding academies, which is usually the high school, 9th grade through 12th grade, where Great Lakes Adventist Academy has them there. So that's considered, for high school, a day school. They don't board.
Yes, Grand Rapids Adventist Academy is a day school. Some of our students get bused in. Some are dropped off by their parents. Some come from many different areas around greater Grand Rapids.
More than just immediately Grand Rapids,
yes.
The outlying cities and
yes.
suburbs.
Yes, they could come from Holland, or they can come from Rockford or
Ionia,
or different places, yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Now, Renee Truax is a principal, and she is a one-room school.
Correct.
Kindergarten through eighth grade.
Correct.
Now, how many students did you have?
At the beginning of the school year, we had 5 students, and we are looking at 17 students for this coming
wow,
school year.
Wow, you really grew. So
the words got out that this is a great place to be.
Yes.
So I guess a question, one teacher cannot teach kindergarten through eighth grade, all those students all by herself.
Correct.
So I don't know if you have aides or an assistant teacher.
I have an assistant teacher, Janice Mead, and she helps out with grades K through 4.
Okay. All right. But because you are especially just the one-room school, you're the principal. You do everything.
Correct.
Okay. How long have you been doing that?
At my current position?
Yes.
I've been there for 7 years, 8 years.
Okay. And so now, have you always worked at a Seventh-day Adventist school?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a blessing. I mean, you get to see how the kids grow in Jesus.
Yes.
Okay. So most of the students, if they're living in the Hastings area and they come there, I mean, they start in kindergarten, you can see them all the way through eighth grade?
Correct. And we have students who come half hour away.
Do you?
We
okay.
do.
Okay. All right. And now, Melinda, you're with the Greater Lansing Adventist School, which, and you're the principal as well as a teacher.
That's correct.
Now, it is a pre-K to 10th grade. So we call that a junior academy.
That is correct. We are a junior academy, and we operate our pre-K program, which is our four-year-olds, and then we also have the kindergarten all the way up to the 10th grade.
Okay. And so that is what we call like a day academy for the high school, because the other academies, they live there. So sure. So when they go through 10th grade there, how many of them continue to a boarding academy? Do you know approximately?
I don't know exact numbers, but we have a good number that go to a boarding academy. We have some that continue to stay as far as a homeschooling situation, okay. But we have both kinds.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, because I know there are some schools, like we're in the Cadillac area, and they have where they're homeschooled, but they're at the school doing a program. Mm-hmm. The Lansing school does the same thing?
We do offer a guest student type of situation where we can invite the homeschoolers to come in and participate in different activities that we have. Our doors are open to them. We love to include them in as many activities as we can, because we know that we're all about Adventist education, whether we're in the brick and mortar or whether we're outside of that. And so we invite them to join us and to become close to Christ through our school and through what we have to offer them.
Well, let me ask you, Melinda, what is the difference between a Seventh-day Adventist education and a public school education?
That is a marvelous question, and I have a little bit of background in that, because I worked in the public school setting for about 14 years, and the difference is vast. Let me just say that. You have teachers on both sides that are trained and academically sound in teaching. The difference between our schools, though, and the public schools is plain and simple, and it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I worked in the public schools, I was not allowed to introduce anyone to Christ. I wasn't allowed to talk about Jesus in any way, shape, or form. In our schools, however, in the Adventist schools, Jesus is in every subject. He's in every classroom. He's in every situation. He is also there when we need to talk to students about behaviors. We have a redemptive system through Christ that we can talk to them. So that is what sets us apart, I would say, to the core. That is the main thing.
So, Melinda, what I hear you saying is, even in discipline, you can be teaching them life skills and bringing them closer to Jesus.
That's absolutely right. Jesus had a way about him that he taught them through his example, but also through his demeanor and his words, and those around him watched him and wanted to be more like him. And even in our discipline, we teach them through scripture. If there's a situation that we can bring a scripture up in whatever the behavior issue was, we get down on our knees. I've gotten down on my knees with my students, my whole class actually, and prayed a behavior to God.
Explain that? I'm trying to figure out what you were saying there.
The whole behavior thing with my whole class?
Right.
Okay, so
they must have offended the whole class. The
whole classroom had a situation where you know, if a teacher like myself walked out, came back, and they were mm-hmm. kind of in a mayhemish type of situation.
Which is kind of typical.
Which could be typical. But, you know, to learn and to walk them through that kind of situation, I prayed with them. Okay, everybody on your knees. Let's talk to Jesus about this, and let's see, let's invite his presence into this room and his Holy Spirit. And you know, their eyes were big, like, what? Okay, let's do this. And so, yeah.
Did that Jesus, soften, and did that change the environment?
Like, turned it around like a 360, you know, wow. Just a way to incorporate Christ into, even discipline is what sets us apart as an Adventist school.
So it's not if they're going to make mistakes, it's how you deal with the mistakes that the young people participate in.
When you have youth, they are going to be in the learning process of behavior no matter what, right? So yeah. You're going to have kids that are just feeling the waters or learning how to behave. And what a great way as teachers who are committed Adventist Christians to be able to walk them through the steps of Christ-like behavior by living through example and also through word and through prayer.
So, you know, Tom, one thing the Adventist schools can teach values that the public schools can't exactly teach the same values. And I'm not even sure nowadays if public schools are teaching any values. I'm sorry. But what I see is school is a lot different. I went to public school. I was not a Christian, raised in a Christian home. But school is so much different now than it was.
I agree with you. Even when I started to teach in the public schools to when I finished, like 14 years later, just the difference between that span of time was remarkable. But, you know, we're in our elementary schools, we're dealing with students that are in their formidable years, right? Their characters are being formed. They're being molded. And we need to do what we can during those times to bring them to Christ as best and as completely as we can.
Absolutely. Renee, would you mind sharing some experiences from your classroom where you were able to bring Christian values and point the children to Jesus?
It's so easy in the Adventist system to teach values and
it's
to teach Christian.
It's in the curriculum.
It is. It
your
is.
Bible classes.
Yes. And we get a lot of students. From our 17 students, we have only three that are Adventists. And so we have a lot of students coming from the public schools. And just some common sense of how to act, how to behave, what to say, how to be polite. It's just foreign to these students. And they have no idea. And I explain to them why. And they go home and they tell their parents. And then they come back and they said, you know, like examples would be dress code. Why do we need to have a dress code? And we explain that, you know, you're not showing yourself to other people. You want to show God to other people. And so just a lot of things that teachers who we take that we take for granted, we have to teach to the students for the first time.
So I would say that I would think that you might have a little more difficult time if you have that many kids from the public school, because the way they've been going to school, I don't know about their homes, you know, how they're raised, but they're seeing a different behavior in school in their classroom than they do now in their classroom.
That is correct. And the advantage of teaching grades K through 8 in one classroom is that when an issue comes up, you can address it to the little kids, which is more acceptable, but the older students are still listening and they still glean and get that information.
Well, and one thing about having, you know, the multi-grades like that, the older kids can help the younger kids. So that's one thing, teaching them in a way about being service and being helpful.
Correct.
And I would think some of the younger kids might like, oh, I've got this older kid, you know, look up to that's helping me.
Yes. And as a teacher, multigrade has to be the easiest job because the younger kids are constantly hearing the concepts from the older kids. And so by the time they get to the older grades, they have that concept down. And it's easier for them to grasp what's being taught.
So people that might think, well, I don't want to send my kid to, you know, a multi-grade school because how, you know, they're not going to get the same education if they were in a fourth grade class with all fourth graders. But what you just said, it's so true because they're hearing, even though they might be doing their own work or whatever, they're still hearing other concepts that are maybe beyond their, you know, learning right now, but
Correct.
They're hearing it.
Correct. And at our school, we place students according to their ability. So we might have a third grader working at fifth grade reading, second grade social studies, you know, third or fourth grade, you know, math or whatever. So we place the students according to their ability and not according to their grades. So since we have 17 students, we have 17 grades. And
but that's realistic. Every child is unique and is
that is correct.
Trajectory.
That is correct. So everyone is the education is tailored to each child.
Well, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Really and truly, it's interesting. I went from a four grade classroom when I entered the system to a two-grade classroom, and I was just way ahead. I mean, I already heard that stuff before.
Yes.
And tested very, very well. Yudelka,
yes.
Tell me about your opportunity to bring Christ to these children in the classroom.
Before you do, I have a question. How long have you been teaching first and second graders?
Oh, I've been teaching for a long time. About 23 years.
So you must have first and second graders down.
Yes. I've taught other grades too, but first and second has been the longest. And those kids are special. And I enjoy teaching them so much. They bring a joy into the classroom and into everything they do.
They have a great attitude.
Yes.
Eager to learn.
And very energetic. And so whenever we have a chance to maybe go into the community and sing for the nursing homes or make cards or do something like that, some Christian service outside the community, the kids they've done it so much that they're very comfortable doing it now. It's so great to hear them singing over there, and the older people wait for them, and they're excited to see the kids. So our kids have learned a lot about giving to others and serving others through the things that we do at school.
Let's go back to discipline. The other two teachers talked a little bit about discipline, but how do you discipline in a Christian way?
I think that redemptive discipline that she was talking about, talking to the kids and praying with them and finding out what happened, what can I do to help you so it won't happen again, involving the parents so that our school not only works with the child, but we also involve the parents, so they were always trying to do what's best for the child and find out, why do you think he's doing this? How can we help? What can we do to help them succeed, not only in school, at home, and or whatever things that they need help with? Because character building is so important, and we use Jesus as our model, that he is the one that we are focusing on and putting our attention on, so that the kids can learn to be like him and have a relationship with him. And so I think once we show the kids how much Jesus loves them, how much we love them, and how all of us are trying to help them to be not only good students, but good people that love Jesus and want to serve him, I think it's very important. And our schools help do that.
You know, one thing about like first and second graders, they're usually more eager to be learning than the kids that have been in school a while But and like you said, they're energetic, and just wondering how many like give you a problem, because if they've not been in a very disciplined home, you know, do they know that they need to pray to Jesus and ask for forgiveness?
Well, a lot of we're very fortunate. Not only do we have the pastors that come in on Wednesdays to talk with the kids, so we have also the pastors who know the families and know the children. But when they come into my classroom, even if they haven't had a lot of discipline in their life, or maybe they come from a different culture, and we have to, because we have a very diverse classroom. In my classroom, I'm pretty sure I had at least 6 different countries represented. We also have to get to know the parents so that we know what do they do at home, or what is considered acceptable in order to be able to help them. So a lot of it is having a relationship with the parents.
So, you know, that just brings another thing, thinking about cultures, because nowadays, you know, we have refugees and we have all these multiculturals coming. So put them in the classroom, the kids can also learn about different,
yes,
you know, cultures.
I'm amazed. They're so accepting of each other and the differences in each other. They see more of how they are the same more than how they're different. And our students get to know each other in this way, and they'll try something, maybe a food that somebody has made, or maybe someone will celebrate something in a different way than they do. And just think, when they go out into the work world or whatever they decide to do in life, how much easier it will be for them to be able to have relationships with many different kinds of people.
So, Melinda, I want to ask you something like that, because you were in the public school system. Did you see that kind of thing, if there were different cultures? I mean, just like celebrating something different.
When I worked in the public schools, there were very few cultures represented outside of the Caucasian, maybe African American, but not like we are seeing now. Even in our school in Lansing, we have the Mexican culture, we have various countries of Africa represented also. Mm-hmm. One of our aides this year for our pre-K program, pre-K through two, she is from Brazil. So that's very exciting for us because she will bring something onto the plate also and be able to share her cultures with the students.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just wondering, I'd like to go back to something. How does prayer affect discipline?
How does prayer affect discipline? I would say that when we get down on our knees and we pray as teachers and as staff with our students, we invite a force into that room, into the heart, different than what is being represented, right? So we invite Jesus there, and in so doing, when we invite Jesus in, we're also pushing the negative out, right? We're pushing those negative forces out. So it's a power that we have at our fingertips that is something that we can tap into to help our students.
Do you see a softening of the students that might have been difficult to retain transient when they close their eyes and start praying, and maybe praying for the other student or asking for forgiveness of the teacher?
You know, absolutely. That's very true. Even having a student pray for another student and to ask for forgiveness of that student, I've had many of the situations where students were doing that and tears were going down their cheeks. You know, it is a softening process. That's what sets us apart.
And it's a power, it's a tool that is not available to
public school.
You cannot do that in public school. It's not available.
Tool in your
in our toolbox. It's a blessing, I'm telling you, because I've done both sides of the spectrum now and I wouldn't go back. So
Renee, I have a question regarding parents. How do you handle parents, though, that maybe aren't happy with what you've done with their kid, or what are they're griping and grumbling about something? How do you handle that?
Well, you know, someone else might want to answer this because I have amazing parents. They are all happy. Every child who has come to our school has had some kind of learning or behavior or some kind of issues, and with the power of God, it's all taken care of.
Wow.
Okay. So you've got to deal with the tough questions.
You were talking about...
Well, just if you have a difficult parent, they're not happy with maybe how you've disciplined, or maybe something you're teaching, or they're being kind of negative, and they're coming to you to gripe and grumble.
Yes. You know, sometimes parents, just like anybody else, has a bad day. And when we encounter something like that, usually I listen. We do a lot of listening, and I do a lot of listening, and then I ask them what it is that they would like me to do, and then we discuss that. A lot of times, the parent may not realize something, and once we've talked it over, they may realize that maybe there were things that maybe she didn't think of or they didn't think of. But I think our parents, most of the time when they come to us, it's usually asking for help as partners.
Okay.
When we come together and we talk with them, parent-teacher conferences on the way out of school for dismissal, or when they come to school, when we talk to them, we build that relationship so that they know they can come to us. We can problem solve together and see what might work and what might not work. And I think when parents know that you want the best for their child, they're going to be on board to help you with that.
Wow, that's good.
And I think our parents are amazing. I think they know that when their child comes into the classroom, you know, we're going to set a tone, a spiritual tone, with our worships, with the songs that we sing, with the way that we tackle conflicts and resolve problems by not only praying, because we pray together with them also, but with our parents and our students, just to be able to ask God for wisdom and to set a tone in the classroom that's very very calm and peaceful, so that child can learn.
Well, we're going to run out of time, and we want to talk to each of these teachers, let you know how you could contact if you're interested in finding out more about putting your child in this school. So
not these schools, but there's also
well, that's right,
Seventh-day Adventist schools across the conference. I believe there's 33 or close to that number. Yeah. So you may want to call the Michigan Conference Education Department, and it's on the MichiganSDA.org, MISDA.org, as we call it, and look for the education department and find a school near you.
Or you can go online, I would think, and look up Seventh-day Adventist schools in Michigan. But let's start with Melinda, who is the Greater Lansing Adventist School. Mm-hmm. If people want to know more about your school or contact you, what do they have to do?
Sure. They can just Google, actually, Greater Lansing Adventist School. We're in Lansing, Michigan. Our website is glassschool.com, and glass is the stands for Greater Lansing Adventist School. So it's GLASSCHOOL.com, glassschool.com. And that takes you to our website.
They'll have the information.
Has the information. If you want to contact us or send a little message to us, we'll be able to talk to you then.
Okay, we're going to go to Renee. And you heard we talked to Renee about she's going to have 17 students, but only three of them are from Seventh-day Adventist homes. So any Adventist school, you do not have to be a Seventh-day Adventist or belong to a Seventh-day Adventist church to send your child to school.
That is correct.
Okay, and so if people want to know more about the Hastings School.
Yes, so you can call the Hastings Adventist Elementary School at 269-945-3896. Again, 269-945-3896. And our website is hsdaschool.org. Also, we are not a Temple Plan school, but we accept any student who wants to attend, whatever their financial situation is. So anyone who would like to donate to the school is more than welcome to, and we encourage that.
And remember, listeners, any private schooling, it costs money. Public school is free because we're all paying through taxes, but to send your kids, whether it's like a charter school or a Christian school, any private school, it costs money. Usually the Seventh-day Adventist school, compared to other private schooling, is less expensive.
And usually the school is willing to work with you to see how you could enroll your student. They don't want to turn anyone away if possible.
Well, that's what Renee just said.
Grand Rapids Adventist Academy is located in Grand Rapids, in a residential neighborhood. It is a very affordable school, and many times if parents are committed and want their child to be there, the school will help them find a way to make that happen.
Amen. How do they contact Grand Rapids Adventist Academy?
GRA.com, GRAA.com. You will find us on the internet, and our number is 616-791-9797. Call us, Google it, get some information. In the summertime, we're there. The secretary is there on Wednesdays.
So in times we're living in, our kids need to get a Christian education.
Amen.
It's just, life is, Jesus is coming soon, folks. And if you want your kids to be in heaven, you need to get them a good Christian education.
Amen.
So thank you so much, teachers, for being here. We appreciate it. And I just pray, Tom, that someone listening will think about where their child should be going to school for this fall.
Amen.
And get online.
We'll be right back with another interview. Stay tuned.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner with my co-host,
Tom Majure.
And this is Strong Tower Radio today. And we've been talking about education because we love education.
We do.
And we were talking about elementary education, but now we're here to talk about a different form of education. And you'll learn more about it. And I have with us Julia Robinson. She is the vice principal of Aspire Academy. She does teach third and fourth grade.
Hello, Jelaine and Tom. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And so I guess a question, Aspire Academy, I hear that the word Aspire is an acronym.
It is, yes.
So what does it stand for?
It stands for Adventist School, Preparing, Instilling, and Redeeming for Eternity.
Okay. And so when we say Adventist, we're talking about Seventh-day Adventists because we are associated. We're not part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They don't run Strong Tower Radio, but we're associated with a lot of Seventh-day Adventist churches and people.
Now, Julia, would you share with our audience what your school is and the scope of it and how people get involved?
Yes. Our school right now has grades first grade through 11th grade for this coming school year.
So you're growing. You were 10th last year. And
yes.
11th
and... Yeah, our very first year of operation in the 2020-2021 school year, we had only grades 1 to 8 and two teachers. So this last school year, we added 9th grade and 10th grade, which was very popular for people to attend. People like that option for academy age. And
it's kind of like junior high academy.
Yeah. Yeah. 9th grade, 10th grade. And we added two more staff members. And this coming school year, we've added four more staff members, with including a full-time IT person, which is exciting. And another high school teacher, two more elementary teachers. And so we're very excited about that. And then for next year, adding 11th grade. So
how many staff is there?
There is 8 of us total.
Okay.
Yes.
And last year, you had how many students?
A little over 50.
Okay. And that was your second year.
Yes.
And your first year, they started with 20 students, I understand.
Yes, right around 20.
So you doubled your growth from year one to year two, and you doubled your staff for the coming year. I can understand why you have an IT person. You added.
Yes.
Being an online school, it's like, help.
Exactly.
Either the student needs it or the teachers needs help.
Exactly. Like, I had a student with a camera issue, and, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly. I'm trying to teach and perform IT, you know, facilitate IT help. So now we'll have that person that we can direct our students to and we can get help to as the staff.
So we said Aspire Academy, and you just said online time. We really did not let our listeners know this is online schooling.
That's right. It's exclusively online. But what's unique about our program is we have a synchronous program. So teachers are with students throughout the school day. We're together online. We've been using Google Classroom, so we have a Google Meet that set up with called Live Classroom, where we meet together and the teachers teach the lessons, answer questions, give immediate feedback. We're there with them, just like in a classroom situation. Our classroom is online.
So they're supervised electronically.
Exactly, yes.
So it's different than some of the people who have taken college courses or continuing education. You can either have synchronous, it has a specific time and a specific day, and you do it all together, or asynchronous, as there are some formats. But with children, the synchronous, especially with the lower grades, is vitally important. And you teach third and fourth, so that's why it's synchronous.
Yes, yes. And it's synchronous all the way through, even in the high school level. And the other wonderful feature is we have safeguards in place, too, so students aren't left on their own. We can see their screens. We can help push out tabs to them. We can monitor what they're viewing and to make sure they're on task. So just like in a regular classroom, instead of looking over their shoulder, we're able to look and see what they're looking at.
Well, that's why the camera was an issue that needed to be taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to see them and they need to see you.
But not only that, I can see what's on their computer screen.
Okay.
Which is very, it's good for security purposes and safety and to make sure they're on task as well. We have those features in place, so which is very important.
So why would a parent want to think about Aspire Academy?
Well, one group that we've appealed to is homeschool groups and people that have homeschooled their kids but maybe want something a little different for them, but they're still in a home situation. That's been a kind of a niche for us, and which has worked out well, so that parents are still there monitoring their kids, but they're in school too, and they're able to meet friends and socialize. We have a little time to socialize, and you wouldn't think we would bond so much, but our classes, like my third and fourth grade class, we really bond, and they get to know each other and learn about each other because I give them a little time to chat and laugh, and we're spending all day together, 4 days a week. So
just not physically being able to touch, but
we get to share and work on assignments together. And the way technology is now, it just keeps progressing, and there's new features all the time. But one wonderful thing too is I can structure assignments so kids can still like work together in a group. Something that if they were working on their own, they would get, they would miss out on. They get to work in groups still. On Google Meet, they're called breakout rooms. So they get to join a breakout room and work with their friends. And I can monitor what they're doing still. And I can check in on each room for them.
So do you have all the different, multiple little breakout sessions? They break them groups. How many groups will you maybe have in a class?
It just depends. Like if I have, let's say I have 10 students, I could split them into like three groups and have a few in each group. I can do that. Or
how can you listen to three different groups at the same time?
Not at the same time. I can check in. Like I can go from group to group, and I have that flexibility to join each group. So I'll join and see how they're doing, and they can even ask me for help. It'll say group one needs help, and I'll check in with group one, but I can still see what they're doing on their screen, and I can have them, for example, turn on their closed caption, and it'll say I can read what they're saying. Like there's still a lot of safeguards in place, but it's fun because they really like to, kids are social and they want to work together, and so it works out well for that. They can collaborate.
Well, even thinking about that, you can tell if somebody's on task or not, even visually looking at the classroom. I was a college and I evaluated teachers, and I could walk down the hall. I didn't have to hear what was being said. I could hear the tone of voice and determine if the class was on task or not.
Yeah.
And you can tell that just visually.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see even like you were talking about, Jelaine, on their screen, like the camera situation, I can see, are they with us or are they not with us? You can kind of tell that way too. Yeah, for sure.
What about curriculum? What type of curriculum? There's many things homeschoolers, you said some of them have transitioned. There's a time on homeschooling that you get above the comfort level or the capacity of the parent, and you need to graduate, but they still want to keep that homeschool environment.
Exactly. Yeah, like maybe the parent isn't great at math, and for example, they can they can join our school and get the curriculum that they need to, especially like you were talking about in the high school level, you want to have those credits. You need certain credits to graduate. So we can provide that. We follow the Seventh-day Adventist curriculum, and we're very standards-based with our approach because we are Monday through Thursday. So we don't meet on Friday with the kids. That's a teacher plan day. And to prepare, and so we really focus on the standards and what is important for them to know to succeed. So
do you have any students that are part-time students, or are they all full-time?
Full-time. Okay. Yeah.
And what time is that? What time does school start?
So school starts right now at 8:30, and we'll have a morning break, and we have a lunch break too, and a shorter break in the afternoon. So they do get some breaks throughout the day, and then at 2:40 we dismiss.
Mm-hmm. So how long is lunch break?
45 minutes.
Okay.
So are you on during the lunch break or?
No, we log off. But once in a while, my kids are like, let's eat lunch together. Uh-huh. And so we plan it, we plan ahead so we can have our food ready. Because, I even had one student bring a little lunchbox the one day. It was eat lunch together. They wanted to eat lunch together. So once in a while, we do fun things like that.
Go ahead.
The other fun thing that we do to like facilitate relationships and the social aspect is we have capstone events. So
what?
They're called capstone events. So the beginning of the school year, this last school year, the beginning of the school year, we started together in person up at Camp Asabo, which is up in Gray Lane, Michigan. And we met up there for 3 days and did, we handed out the Chromebooks. That's what the students use, are Chromebooks. We handed out those.
Those are laptop computers that are all the same.
Yeah, yeah. And they were loaded with our software, and everyone has a Gmail account, and they're, you know, set up with their GoGuardian and all the programs they need.
That's a program so they don't stray into something they shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. That's our kind of security system. So we met up at camp. We did some training on our Chromebooks, and we get to know each other too. We did some socializing and did some fun activities as well, and worshiped together. And so that was a fun way to start. And then in the middle of the school year, I think it was around February, we did a outdoor education time again up at Camp Asabo. And we had, there's a person up at camp that facilitates outdoor ed activities, and he worked with the older kids, and then we had someone else work with the younger students, and they did all kinds of fun activities outside at camp. And it was winter, but it was really fun.
So you get all the fun of real classroom and online as well.
Yeah, and then we did a final capstone event in right after Memorial Day, the last couple days of school.
You're saying camp. It sounds like I thought you were saying cap.
No, camp. Camp Asabo, okay. Yeah.
So is this...
Oh, capstone. I am saying cap.
Capstone.
Capstone.
Okay, see, I'm thinking, well, what's capstone?
Okay. That's what we chose to name it, yeah.
So every year you do this, to get together, to know each other, to go up to Camp Asabo?
Yeah.
So then now you're saying Camp Asabo, which is in Grayling, Michigan.
Yes.
Are all the students from Michigan, or because that could be a long way to come?
Most of our students, yes, are from Michigan. We right now we're continuing to work on our certification. We started that as soon as our school opened, and it takes about 3 years for that process.
So you're just Michigan.
So yes, yes, okay. We are Michigan.
Because I'm thinking that's a great thing to have, you know, come together, so get to know each other first.
Yes.
And then it's easier when they're online.
Yes. To spend time. Now, the very first year, we weren't able to do those just because of COVID restrictions. Mm-hmm. So we weren't able to throughout that first year. So we were excited to be able to do that, because that was part of our plan initially when we first started, was to have some time where we would meet together. We also did a ski trip this last winter. We met people who could up by Cadillac and Cab Rafay and did a ski trip together. And then we've ended the year this last year with a final capstone event. And then we can do things like our eighth grade graduation. So the kids that are graduating eighth grade can have that special ceremony and recognition. So that worked out well too.
So that's what I'm just thinking. Eventually you'll have 12th grade, they're going to graduate.
Yeah.
So you'll still be able to do something.
Yeah, something special for them. Yeah, that's our plan.
Okay. Well, folks, we got to take a quick break, but stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk more about Aspire Academy.
Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor from Amazing Facts. Strong Tower Radio is a station that believes in the power of prayer. In the book Steps to Christ, we're told, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. What a beautiful promise of God's power for our lives. Do you have a special prayer request that you'd like for us to pray for? If so, call us at 877-278-5512 or send an email through our website, strongtowerradio.org. We have a team of prayer warriors standing by to join with you in taking your petitions to the throne of grace. God loves each of us so much, and He's waiting to hear from you.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Majeur.
And Tom, we've been talking to Julia Robinson, who is the vice principal of Aspire Academy, because we love education.
And we sure do.
And we've been talking today about elementary education, and Aspire Academy is an online school. from right now this year, they're from first grade to 11th grade. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And this is going to be the third year.
Yes.
That, and they keep growing.
Yes, we do keep growing.
And so let me ask you this then. Why would parents send their children? I mean, there's lots of there's public school. Of course, we don't want going to public school. Sorry, folks. But there's private education, Christian schools. You know, there's all kinds of private education around. Why would parents send their child to Aspire Academy? Because they're not sending them. They're really keeping them home. But why would they want to use Aspire?
Well, that could be what you just alluded to. They don't want to send their kids away, or maybe they want to keep a little more, you know, monitoring of the situation with their children. So there's lots of different reasons. They could be that there isn't a Seventh-day Adventist school close to them. Michigan's a large state and people are spread out, especially, you know, we've got the UP. Mm-hmm. So there might not be a school close to them. So this is a wonderful option for them that they can still be at home. They can be living wherever they are, you know, maybe out in the country, and they have this Aspire is a good option for them. And if maybe they've graduated from a Seventh-day Adventist school in eighth grade and they are starting high school, there might not be an option for them to go away, or they want to stay close to home. This is another option for them as well, for a ninth grader or on up.
Okay. Now, you teach third and fourth grade, so that's
yes.
your classroom.
Yes.
And so how are they divided up in classrooms then?
So right now we have a first and second grade teacher, Samantha Guskey. She's wonderful, and she's teaching first and second grade. I teach third and fourth grade. We are having a new teacher for next year, Tony Neary, with 5 and 6. And then we have a class of 7th and 8th for 7th and 8th graders with Justin Groff. And he's going to be new this coming year as well. And then our high school, we've got Lexi Barnum, who's teaching in a high school, and Melody Ringstaff, who's another high school teacher. We have our full-time IT person for next year, Matt Coles. And he might teach a class or two as well. I'm not sure what the schedule's all going to be, but he might teach a class here and there. And then our wonderful principal is Ben Zork. And so we have a wonderful staff coming up. It's fun to get to know the new people coming in too.
Okay. So the average classroom size, I know it can vary between grades or something.
Yes.
But how many students in a classroom?
We're looking probably around 10 first and second, and I could have between 10 and 15 in third and fourth, and I think it will get larger on up. Our high school, our 9th through 11th grade, will probably be about the same size as our elementary, even with those three grades. There just seems to be a need for another option for high school age students, for academy age students. So I feel like we're meeting that need, which is wonderful.
And that's largely explained because there's like 30 plus Seventh-day Adventist elementary schools across the state, and there's about 4 day academies and 1 boarding academy.
Exactly.
And so there's less options for
high school.
And
exactly.
When you put your kids in an environment, they're very, very impressionable at that particular time, and
yes.
many parents have concerns in that particular area. Almost every student was exposed to online learning during COVID.
Exactly, yes.
So how is Aspire the same as the experience most students had, and how is it different then?
Well, when everyone shut down for COVID, we had, I know personally, I had a week to get ready and switch everything.
Because you had to teach
online. I was teaching at a brick and mortar school.
0 to 100 in 1 week.
Okay, figure it out. So, and I had smaller students, the younger students at that point too, so that was a little trickier even. But so the difference between that, the COVID panic era and us, is we are prepared for what we're doing, and we have wonderful programs in place and software and hardware ready to go. I had a small laptop when we shut down for COVID, and that's what I did all my teaching on, and now I have a lot more equipment to be successful. I have a document camera, I have a wonderful microphone and a lighting camera and lots of monitors, and so we're set up for success with that. And I know for me, when we shut down, my students weren't with me all day online. I made videos and I did some other things, and we were together for a little bit of the day, but with kindergarten, I had kindergarten first and second, we couldn't be together the whole day. They weren't used to that, and we weren't all set up for that. And plus, parents were home working. It was just, you know, you guys went through probably similar things. But now we're together all day. See, you know, our classes are, we meet together, they know the schedule, they can go take a break, but then they're back with us. And
see, that's one thing I think I like in what you're saying, is that it's a classroom. It's school.
Yes.
You start at 8:30, you're done, you know, go through the day, you're together, because kids need structure.
Exactly. And we provide that. We provide a good school day structure with lunch at a certain time, breaks at a certain time. They know what to expect. You know, they know chapel every other Friday. You know, they get that routine like they would in a classroom as well. Yeah.
So last year was your first year of teaching on Aspire.
Last year was my second year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you've been with him from the beginning.
Yeah, it was Mr. Zork and I at the very beginning. It was starting it out.
Let me ask you this. Since you began, was there anybody that started like, no, we're not, I don't like it, I don't want to do it, is anybody like griped and grumbled and complained and not want to be part of Aspire?
Like a student?
Yes, especially.
No, we really haven't had that, gripe and grumbling. We've had some students a little less engaged than others, and we've kind of tracked a good formula for a success. One thing that helps students be successful is if they have an area in their house that's their school spot. So
not kids, sitting at the kitchen table.
Yeah, well, it could be the kitchen table, but that's their spot.
Yeah.
They've got their like equipment, their school supplies around them. And I have a student, I think he might even be at the kitchen table this one last year, but he was always in the same spot. A lot of times they'll have headphones, especially if they have siblings in and Aspire too, they really need headphones so we can all focus. And then they're engaged, and we can keep them engaged as long as they're doing their part to be on with us. And it's when they're not engaged and they're kind of going from place to place and taking their computer around with them. And
Do you encourage them to, like, you know, sit down, we're going to do school all day, this is where you need to be, or?
Yeah, and we've encouraged parents to kind of set up a spot in their house.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a big, like, they don't need their own room.
No.
They just need a space.
Yeah.
They just have a space. And I had a student last year who was really, she was really into it. She was in her room. She had a setup. She had her printer. She has her computer. She has all of her equipment. And, you know, it's just, she's set up for success because she's got her supplies right there with her and ready to go. And that's helpful. It's, you know, like in a regular brick and mortar school, you have your desk, you have your, your pencil box ready to go, you know, your things right there. So if you have a space in your house, that's helpful.
So, what if parents, what kind of feedback are you getting back from parents?
I'm getting positive feedback. At our final capstone, it was very, a lot of warm fuzzies, a lot of good feelings, a lot of positive feedback from parents. And what's nice too is, it's great to get that feedback though. I get feedback, like not criticism, but like positive, like, maybe you guys could think about this, you know, and that's good to know. Like I
some other
invite
ideas,
that. Right? Yeah, I have had, especially our first year, we were all kind of learning together. And I did know a couple of the moms already previously. So I asked them, like, what do you guys think? What could help? Or, you know, what do you see happening? Mm-hmm. Because I want to know what, you know, from their end, what would work a little better? Or what do you guys think about this? And so it's been a kind of a learning, growing experience and a good challenge for me personally. And then, so I invite that constructive criticism. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Well, and it's good, you know, what could we do better?
Exactly.
What maybe we shouldn't be doing. You know,
yeah, areas to grow in. Yeah. That's what, yeah, I don't mind that because it was new to all of us. So it's good to know. Yeah.
Okay, so if people want to know more about Aspire, where do they go?
Our website. Mr. Zurich keeps our website very up to date, aspiresda.com.
So it's ASPIRE, the Spire.
Yes.
And SDA, that's Seventh Day Adventist.com.
Yes.
Okay, and they can go there. They can see about curriculum, about. And
our schedule's on there, tuition's on there.
An application?
Yes. If you would like to register, yes. Okay. If you have an interest, go there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Christian, Tom always says all education costs money because public school, somebody's paying for it. But Christian education is privately funded usually.
Yes.
So give us an estimated cost for them if they want to send their child.
So for first grade through eighth grade, there's a one-time registration fee, $400. And then monthly $280 for tuition.
That's very affordable.
It is very affordable. Yeah.
High school, of course, would be a little more.
Yeah. High school registration is $450 and tuition is $450 a month.
Okay.
So
it's still very affordable.
Yeah.
All right. If anybody has any questions, they go to the website. They can send you questions.
Yes. There's a contact information there. For the teachers and for our principal, Mr. Zorick, yes.
So now you've got new teachers this year.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on the website. So yes. Especially like the new high school's teachers, and if you have somebody that has a student and they want to talk to the teacher,
yeah,
that's the way to go to. That's the best way to contact the principal or any of you teachers is to the website.
Yes, go to the website. Yes.
Okay. So. What would you like to leave with our listeners? Something?
I just have been personally so blessed by this experience with Aspire, being able to reach students from the tip of the UP, way over by Wisconsin. I had students.
So you in the middle of the winter, you say, how much snow do you have on the ground? And down here, we don't have any.
Yes, this last year I had a student from Escanaba. We had a family and poor girl, we would talk about, the flowers are starting to come up. And she's like, we still have snow. Yeah. I felt kind of bad.
Yeah.
So you can get geography.
Yeah, exactly. But I've just felt so blessed to be able to reach students all the way up to the UP, all the way down to lower Michigan and in the Thumb and, way over the west side of the state. So it's just been really fun to reach students that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to go to a Seventh-day Adventist school and learn more about the Lord and make friends that are, believe what they believe. It's just been just such a blessing to me personally. And I've seen kids light up when they see each other, meet each other for the first time and in person because they've met online.
Yeah, they know them because they're online, but they really haven't met. Okay.
That was really fun because our first year we didn't meet because of COVID restrictions. And so the second year, kids that were returning, to see them meet for the first time after being together online for the previous school year, that was really fun to see. So,
all right. So, listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Aspire Academy, you can go to Aspire, ASPIRE SDA. So it's Aspire Seventh-day Adventist. That's what the SDA is, .com.
Yes.
And you can learn more about the Academy. You can fill out an application, register, or you can contact any of the teachers and find out more, too.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Julia, for filling us in on another way of education, Christian education.
Yes. Thank you, Jolene and Tom, for having me.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.